Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We have so much to get into. We are going to lead the show with baseball today, but not baseball related to the Kansas City Royals. We'll get to that coming up momentarily. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well, taking you up until 5:30 today. We'll move out of the way for the Kansas City Royals as they are playing the Milwaukee Brewers coming up later today. The Brewers are actually at the center of our opening conversation. Before we get to that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, as you listen to The Drive each day, every day at 2 o'clock. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you could tell two friends, but you know what? If you could tell one friend to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it. So, in baseball, all of the latest conversation is about these new torpedo bats. Over the weekend, we saw the Yankees absolutely on fire. I mean, they hit 9 home runs in their opening series, all with the torpedo bats. Aaron Judge used these. Jazz Chisholm used them. Anthony Volpe used them. Cody Bellinger used them. The Yankees used these things, and they pounded the Milwaukee Brewers. And everybody has an opinion on these new torpedo bats. Let me give you guys my opinion. So, if you missed it, this is essentially what we're discussing with the torpedo bat. It still meets all of the league mandated regulations, and it has a barrel that has shifted approximately 6 inches closer to the batter's hands, where many players tend to make a majority of their contact. So essentially, we are talking about them redistributing the wood. This is not cheating. It still follows all of the mandates, but through analytics, they have determined where a large majority of players actually make contact with the ball, and they have put more wood in that spot. So that's what we are talking about. And people are, is this legal? Is this not legal? Let me weigh in. This is evolution of technology, and we have accepted this in every other sport. Why are we hesitant to accept this in baseball? We all watch football, right? We don't think that the gloves that Tyreek Hill is using in 2025, that they're the same gloves that Jerry Rice was using back in 1985. We acknowledge that the gloves today are a little bit different. They're different because technology has evolved. throughout the course of the years. We don't believe that the cleats that Xavier Worthy is wearing in 2025 are the same cleats that Deion Sanders were wearing in 1995 or Bo Jackson were wearing when he was running over fools back in Auburn winning the Heisman Trophy. We acknowledge that the technology has improved and that it has gotten different. What makes this any different? Some of you are golfers. Your golf clubs, you've seen them change throughout your life. No one thinks that Tiger Woods is using the same drivers and clubs that Ben Hogan was using when he was dominating or Jack Nicklaus was winning. No, we acknowledge that technology has grown, evolved, and changed the sport, and now the rules have changed. If you were telling me that the bat is following all the mandated regulations, they're not cheating, this is simply a product of evolution, and the players have a choice on whether or not they want to use bat or not use it. I'm sitting here reading a story right now on MLB.com. Some of the players like the bats. Some of the players don't like the bats. Some of the players want to go with what they're accustomed to, what they feel familiar with, what feels normal to them. Perfectly fine. Some of the players are embracing it and is now spreading around the game of baseball. I don't think we have enough data yet at this point to determine one way or the other. I don't think we have a way of knowing whether or not this creates a significant advantage to the offense or not. I think we simply need to see it play itself out. I think this came into picture because the Yankees are just clearly so much better than the Brewers. And then you get a guy like Elly De La Cruz, who's one of the more exciting players in baseball, and he's off to an incredible start, and he's using this bat. But it's certainly going to be a copycat league. I'm reading this story right now, quote, "Some guys have definitely tried them, but we haven't found anyone who has actually fell in love with them. If the Yankees keep hitting home runs with them, I'm sure we'll have more players give it a shot." Another American League club executive said that some of his players tested the bat, but none of them decided to use them in game. "We tried them in spring training. Like anything, it's probably buy-in and we're still getting used to it." Another American League executive thinks that these bats will become more popular in the short term, but whether they will become the norm remains to be seen. I understand the debate here. I understand the dialogue. I just think that this is a natural evolution of sport, and the game changes, the rules change, and more so than that, the technology around the game changes. The same way that it's changed for golf clubs, the same way that it's changed for gloves that you would use to play football or cleats to run faster and all of those things, I think the bat in Major League Baseball has potentially changed. And let's see what that technology means. In the end, baseball is still a swing and a miss game, and you got to do your best as a pitcher to make sure that you avoid the bat. And we'll see if pitchers can continue to do it. So I am for the torpedo bat. I also think it's something that we need to monitor to see what kind of effect this has on Major League Baseball. But for the short term, I don't think we have enough information one way or the other to tell the players that they shouldn't be able to do it. And if you like it and it fits our guidelines, cool, you can use it. And then at the end of the season, we could determine if this is something that we think should continue on or we need to change the rules and regulations. That is a baseball decision to come up with. I'm on their side for now. I was thinking this as well, and I think this is also one of the top stories today. Today is April Fool's Day. Everybody's getting their jokes off. Everybody's getting their April Fool's Day jokes off, and that's perfectly fine. If you are an April Fool's joke individual and you got your little funny hee-hee-ha-ha joke, cool. I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't do it. But this is the thing. I don't think we need April Fool's Day anymore. People do April Fool's jokes all the time. Where do we think the term fake news came from? Because at this point, it is hard to decipher what is actually real news and what's not. Rob, you and I are on social media. We're on Facebook. Half of the information I see on there is fake. It's attributing a fake quote to somebody. It's a fake product. It's a fake something. You and I are on Twitter. It is constantly fake trades and fake. You're always with your antennas up to see if something really happened or didn't happen. You got parody accounts that are popping up. NBA Centel, Arden Schefter, all of these different things. We're constantly on the lookout for April Fool's Day jokes. Now that they've become so commonplace and they become a part of the content ecosystem, I don't think we need April Fool's Day the way that we had it back in the day. You could really fool somebody in 1995. You could really fool somebody. You can't really fool me, because even tomorrow, I'm still double and triple checking. I'm still going on the ESPN website. You got to keep your guards up today in social media climate, or you're going to retweet something and you're going to get duped. We've all been in this situation before. You see a graphic, you share it in your group chat, your friend tells you that this did actually not happen. Everybody has a laugh and everybody moves on. We are just so bombarded with fake information or parody information that we are constantly living in April Fool's Day. I don't think it needs to be relegated to one day anymore. So happy April Fool's Day to you and yours. If you were choosing to celebrate it, that is certainly well within your right. I'm not really much of an April Fool's Day. We don't have anything planned on this show. We're going to continue our same show as normal. I would just say, you got to be real good to get somebody today. You got to be real good. And I am a believer that April Fool's Day, usually you can tell who in your group is funny, who's got a little bit of creativity, and who doesn't. Who doesn't? Because some folks are doing, they're running the same April Fool's Day playbook they've been running for the last 5 to 6 years. You got to switch it up a little bit. This is the Tecmo Super Bowl where they only got 8 plays. You got to switch it up a little bit. Some of you haven't switched it up in a year. You got to really get after it if you want to try to dupe somebody on these days. Coming up on the other side, the NFL is changing a handful of rules. We'll talk about those changes, and the debate about the tush push moves on. Everybody wants to change the rules now. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's MJ Melendez from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we will head down to San Antonio to talk a little bit about the Final Four. This is the second time in the NCAA tournament that all 4-1 seeds have advanced to the final weekend of the college basketball season. Doing a little bit more reading on the Torpedo bet. So early in the 2023 season, this is a story from Jeff Passan of ESPN, friend of the show. Aaron Learnhardt started asking New York Yankees hitters what they needed to perform better. He was a minor league hitting coordinator with the team and had seen batting average dip to the lowest point in half a century. So he was asking questions, and he is a MIT-educated physics professor and left academia to try to solve these problems. A baseball fan, I want to make baseball a better game, is when he started kind of reimagining the bat. Now, it follows all of the specs of Major League Baseball. It has to be a certain measure of inches, has to be a certain number of ounces, has to be a certain diameter, all of those things. And this is in line with what the players can use. This past weekend, the Yankees started using it. They hit a lot of home runs with it. 9 of those home runs out of the 15 they hit over the weekend came from the torpedo bat. Quick point about this, and we'll move on to the NFL rules. We cannot be so much in favor of technology around the sport and then have a problem when technology is used in the sport. I have been advocating for the long time, hey, maybe we've let technology go too far. But all we do is expand instant replay. Now we want to have robot umpires and have automated balls and strikes. Like, technology is interwoven in the fabric of sports at this point. And we are using technology at every single turn. And usually the response is, well, we want to get things right. How can we have access to all this technology and you don't want to get the calls right? All right, well, cool. If we're going to use the technology to get the calls right, then let's use the technology to make the players as good as we can make them and make them as good a hitters as they possibly can be. There is a little bit of an offense problem in Major League Baseball. We can go through the numbers. Batting average down, on base percentage down. Players don't put the ball in play the same way that they did 20, 25 years ago. And in some ways, I think you can argue that the pitching is ahead of the offense at this point. How do you level the playing field? How do you get more doubles back into the game? How do you get more triples back into the game? How do you get more home runs? How do you increase offense? if we're simply using technology to now give the offense an advantage, I don't have a problem with that. That sport, since the beginning of time, is using the technology in ways to make the sport better. We use it in television. We use it with the game. We use it around the game. I don't have a problem with them using it in the game. If you were telling me that baseball's collective bargained dimensions, your barrel size has to be a certain diameter, the length has to be a certain length, and you are not changing how much the bat weighs, and you simply just reimagine the bat, I don't really know how any baseball fan could have a problem with this. They're following the rules. It's just different than what you're accustomed to. The same way the drivers are different over the last 20 years, the same way that gloves are different, that's what's happening with the bat. I don't have much of a problem with what we are seeing right now with the torpedo bat, and I'm excited to see how this continues as more and more players are going to use it. More and more players are going to use it. Some players are going to use it and not like it and not feel comfortable because that's not what they've grown up with, but this thing is growing. It was a Yankees thing over the past weekend. It is now spreading around Major League Baseball. I think we're going to see a story at the end of the month, like 30% of Major League Baseball players, 40% of players have at least tried it at some point. Now, maybe that's not the case at the end of the season. We got a long way to go in the baseball season. Some players are going to be with it. Some players are not going to be with it. Some players are going to love it. And I imagine they're going to continue to try to make changes. This is the ultimate cat and mouse of sports. The offense is trying to stay ahead of the defense. The defense is trying to stay ahead of the offense. The pitching is trying to stay ahead of the hitting and vice versa. That's what you love about sports and the competition. And you were seeing that played at an incredibly high level right now in Major League Baseball. Let's take a little bit of break from baseball. We will get back to it here in a bit. But there were a handful of rules changes that just came down this week in the National Football League. All right, Rob, let's get to them.
I'm so happy you mentioned technology, because let's start there. The NFL has added expanded replay assist down the owners' meetings. Carrington today, the owners approved the competition committee to add responsibilities replay assist. It will now include reversing flags that are thrown for hits on defenseless players, along with fouls for face mask, horse collar, tripping, roughing, and or running into the kicker. Carrington, do you like replay assist is expanding in the National Football League?
No. I know what I just said about technology, but hear me, and this is not hypocritical. I would define defenseless different than many of you would define defenseless. Half the time, when we are determining defenseless, the offensive player was trying to make a catch, and the defensive player came in and hit him to try to stop him from making the catch. All we have done is come up with more and more ways, I think, to penalize the defense. These replay assist rules are not meant to level the game. They are used to normally penalize the defense and reward the offense for, in my opinion, playing good, clean football. I've thought this from the very beginning. With some of these hits and some of these rules, we've got to start using some measure of common sense. We got to start using common sense when we're talking about targeting and defenseless receivers. And we are asking defensive players who run 4.4s, 4.5s in the 40s, we're asking them to do unnatural things with their body. Well, you got to keep your head up, but you got to dip your shoulder. You got to hit them in this perfect space. But if the offensive player moves, you still, like, it's way too much. And what's going to happen with this instant replay is they're going to give us more questionable calls that ultimately, to me, put the defense in a very, very difficult spot where you are asking them to hit offensive players in these mythical boxes that just simply don't exist once you start playing football out with living people at these speeds.
I will say one thing of note here that I found interesting. They can reverse all these calls. However, those same replay officials cannot go back and add flags for missed calls. So if we have a hit on a defenseless receiver that went uncalled, tough break, so it goes, but we can then go back and remove the flag. It seems like a little bit of a moving target with the NFL replay assist rules.
Have we ever heard of the term keep it simple, stupid? The instant replay rules are not simple anymore. In fact, we keep adding rules to replay, which then once we get to the games, make the rules more and more confusing. sometimes we don't know what a catch is. Sometimes we don't know what a hit is. Sometimes we don't know what's dirty, what's clean. And now we're expanding that. That's not what I would do. I would try to simplify instant replay and maybe go back to the rules that we had when we originally started. But at this point, I think we're just way too far down.
Another rule that has been approved by the competition committee down at the owners' meetings. We now have a tweak to the dynamic kickoffs when we made the change from regular to dynamic kickoffs last season. This year, if there is a touchback on a kickoff, it'll be marked at the 35-yard line as opposed to 25-yard line. The idea is to prompt teams to increase in actual returns. Carrington, do you like the touchback being now at the 35 instead of 25 for the dynamic kickoff?
Sometimes I think that the NFL listens to this show, because a lot of the ideas that I have on this show, ultimately, they happen. Roger Goodell, are you tapped in? You gotta be tapped in. I was saying this, you can go back and check the tape. I said this after 2 weeks of seeing the rule. This is what they should do. Ultimately, we all want the same thing. We want more balls kicked into play for more chances at a return. Yes, a large majority of returns are probably going to be somewhere between the 20 and 25 yard line. Some are going to allow your special teams a chance to make a better play than that and put your defense in a good spot. But what we really want is an increase of exciting plays. Maybe you make a guy miss. Maybe you get a trick play on a kickoff. Maybe you run a kickoff back for a touchdown, which is one of the most exciting things that could happen in a football game. Yes, this is a good thing. Less touchbacks, more balls kicked into play, more action, more tackling, more running, more jumping, more jukes. Of course, that's what we want. Yes, this is a great rule. Now it really forces you to think. Before, you would just kick it out of the back of the end zone. I don't know if you're just purposely kicking out of the back of the end zone if it goes on the 35-yard line. I think now you have to be strategic about what you want to do to try to get down the field, try to make a play, and try to help your defense out. Yes, this is the perfect rule. I love what the NFL has done the last two off seasons with the kickoff.
It is worth noting the onside kick one was also tabled. So there is still discussion of improving onside kick probability, but that was tabled today at the owners' meeting. So for now, the only kickoff change we have is the touchback. All right, Carrington, the other rule that was approved today came via the Philadelphia Eagles, and that is we got changes to overtime in the regular season, although not really all that much of a change. The rules that they use in the postseason for overtime are coming to the regular season. Both teams will get an opportunity to possess the ball, but the overtime period will remain 10 minutes in length. So, Chiefs fans, you know this. First team gets the ball, they do whatever they want on their drive. Second team gets a chance as well. That rule is now in the regular season. Carrington, do you like the postseason overtime rules coming over?
I don't have any problem with this. I know you want me to have a strong opinion about this. I don't have a super strong opinion about it. I felt the last overtime rules for the regular season was fine. This rule is fine. I don't have much of an issue with it. I think the overtime rules are fair. You guys know my stance on the overtime. If you give up a touchdown, you should just lose the game. I don't care if you got a chance to touch the ball or not. If you give up a safety or if you give up a touchdown, you deserve to lose the game in overtime. Obviously, the league disagrees. They've decided to go in a different direction. I'm not against that rule. This is fine. This is fine.
You know what I'm psyched for? More games ending in ties and people getting mad. Because that's coming.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to see too many more games that end in tie.
You'll see more. I looked it up today. You know the average time possession, like the average length of a drive in the NFL is 5 minutes? If both teams score a touchdown in 5 minutes, you know what happens? Game over. Tie. Like, you're going to see more ties as a part of this, which is fine by me. I don't care. But that is coming to the National Football League.
Yeah, I don't. I think we're kind of overselling that just a little bit. When you think about how many games there are over the course of an entire NFL season, I mean, we're talking about what? Probably 3 games a year at the most. I mean, we're talking about there's 272 NFL games. If you were telling me that 3 end in a tie, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. Yeah, it's going to factor in when we get to playoff time. But if your tie in week 5 is why you made or missed the postseason, then other things happen throughout the course of the season. I don't care that much about it. I don't feel that up in arms about a potential tie. And that is the rules for today.
You don't want to talk tush push? It was tabled.
I was about to transition to the tush push. You read my mind. So, according to reports, there are 16 teams right now that are ready to vote against the tush push. From Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports. Source, 16 teams are opposed to the rule that would ban the tush push. So 16 teams are with it, 16 teams are opposed to it. There will be much more conversations with many teams in favor of having the NFL's competition committee continue to study the play. I think this is pretty clear. A change is coming. Now, I don't believe that they are going to outright ban it. I don't think they are going to ban it. I do think the people that have the argument, wait, you are not allowed to push the ball carrier. I do think that those people ultimately are going to win out. You don't table this conversation if you are not at least interested in finding some kind of compromise for a play that, by definition, there's 32 teams in the league, 16 are for it, 16 are against it, is polarizing. I think you are tabling this conversation for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, to try to find a compromise for everybody. Hey, some of you want to run this play. Some of you are good at running this play. Some of you don't want this play. What is something that we can sit down and agree to move forward? But I do think that if you are now saying that there's 16 teams and now you got to figure out a way to pick up 8 votes, I think the no side will be able to pick up 8 votes. I think the 16 teams, you're close enough to a general manager, you're close enough to an owner. Hey, if you vote for me on this one, I got you on the next thing that you want. We all know that favors are being passed. It's big business. It's like any company and how it runs. I do think that they are getting close to having enough votes that they will be able to get rid of this. And I'm guessing at some point in the middle of May, they will come down to an agreement that they will keep the tush push. It just will look fundamentally different than before, and it won't be as unstoppable as it feels with Philadelphia. Philadelphia will still be better at it than everybody else, but they will find a way to get the percentages where right now it's at, well, like 95%. If the Eagles run that play, they are getting a first down. They'll find a way to change it to make it a little bit more balanced and a little bit more fair, because enough teams have screamed about it and said they don't want it anymore. That's how I think this thing ultimately ends up playing itself out. I do want to read something to you guys very quickly. So Andy Reid, he's at the owners' meeting. They got owners there, coaches there. It's just another way for them to get together and talk about the upcoming NFL season. And he was talking about Isaiah Pacheco and that the Chiefs are still very optimistic in Isaiah Pacheco. I am still very optimistic when it comes to Isaiah Pacheco. But I think this is a very interesting statistic that goes along with my, I will continue to bang the drum for a running back. These were the teams that had the fewest 20-plus yard rushes from a running back in 2024. The Broncos had 4. The Saints and Raiders both had 3. The Chiefs and Rams both had 2 carries from running backs that went over 20 yards last season. Now, I know that Isaiah Pacheco was banged up and missed a significant amount of time. I know that that's not how people perceive Kareem Hunt to be. He is much more of your 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-2, short yardage back. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those carries are important too. The Chiefs need some explosiveness in their run game. I believe they'll get some of that explosiveness back because Isaiah Pacheco will, in theory, be healthy for the upcoming season. Let me knock on wood. I believe another way to get explosiveness from the run game is to draft an explosive running back. Oh, wait. Well, where can you find explosive running backs for cheap? Oh, yeah, coming up in 3 weeks. They got them. Rookie cost control contracts. Go find one of them. They had 2 rushes? Over 20. You had no home run ability. You were the worst team in the league at having home run plays come from the run game last year. Go find you a home run hitter. Nobody's saying you got to find Aaron Judge in this analogy. Find you a Vinny Pasquantino. Find you somebody that can hit you 26 home runs. You don't need 60. You don't need Barry Bonds. No, find you somebody with a little bit of pop, a little bit of sizzle. That's what I want the Chiefs to continue to look for. Today is the first day of April. We are, what, 25 days, 24 days away from the start of the NFL draft? I will tell you guys this every day until they do it. Draft a running back. Get some explosiveness in the run game. You can help Patrick Mahomes a bunch of different ways. I see the text line. You guys tell me that protecting Patrick Mahomes is the number one priority. One of the ways to protect your quarterback is have him hand it off. You don't get sacked when you hand it off. You don't get hit when you hand it off as a quarterback. You transfer that hit to another player. That player is the one then that gets hit. It then keeps you fresh. It opens up the passing game. It opens up passing lanes for you. One of the ways to help protect Patrick Mahomes is to give him a viable and capable run game with some explosiveness that teams fear. They didn't have that last year. So last season, the Broncos had four rushes that went for 20-plus yards. The Saints and the Raiders both had three. The Chiefs and the Rams were tied for last place with two. With two. They got almost 300 carries from running backs last year. Two of them were home runs. No, that's not good enough. That's not good enough.
Every single time you read a stat about the running backs from last year, yards per carry, lack of home run hits, like whatever the stat is, it seems like every single stat points to Kareem Hunt was not very good last year for the Chiefs. Like the numbers indicate he was not very good. So if they need more home run, if they need more explosion, why did they bring back their primary running back from 2024? Because Elijah Mitchell, okay, he's often injured, but when healthy, he shows a little home run ability. Isaiah Pacheco, I'm sure we pulled the home run stats from 23 and 22. When he was healthy, he was better at that. He was also better at yards per carry than Kareem Hunt. It just, and I'm not trying to run down Kareem Hunt. I think he was important for the Chiefs needed last year. They needed a human body, and he filled it and was a positive for the team. But every stat you read about, we need more explosiveness, we need better run product, like everything you say points to, why did they bring Kareem Hunt back? Why? It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, Pacheco has a history of getting injured. You still have the draft, which is the deepest running back draft we've seen in a long time. You bring in Isaiah Mitchell. Are they going to carry four running backs in 2025? It just seems like as time goes on, I get more and more head scratching about why did they bring Kareem Hunt back?
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me as well. It is a little bit confusing why they did that. I'm going to hold off just a little bit. I want to see how things play themselves out. I'm not going to make a decision until we find out one way or the other. Someone on the text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, I'm not against running back depth. I just don't think we need a home run hitter. What is the likeliness that we draft a Saquon Barkley? There are other running. I don't know why we do this with players. No, I don't think the Chiefs need the best running back in the NFL. Saquon Barkley averaged 5.8 yards per carry. Their number one running back averaged 3.6 yards per carry. There's numbers in the middle between those. There's numbers in the middles. Draft James Conner. James Conner last year ran for over 1,000 yards, ran for 4.6 yards per carry, and had 8 touchdowns last year. They can't find James Conner? He ain't Saquon Barkley. He's also significantly better than Kareem Hunt. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you got to go out in free agency and spend $12 million a year on a back and have the best back in the running in the league. The Chiefs don't have a top 25 running back on their team. Can they find one? Because I assure you, there's multiple backs that at the end of the season we'll look at as a top 25 running back, and they'll be in this year's draft class. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. They can't go draft Aaron Jones. There will be multiple running backs in this year's draft class better than Alvin Kamara. Multiple aside from the two guys that I think are going to go in the first round. Draft one of them. That's it. That's my only point. We don't got to spend all day talking about running backs. It's that simple. Again, you don't need to go get Aaron Judge. Find Vinny Pasquantino. No one has ever confused Vinny Pasquantino with Aaron Judge, but he's a good home run hitter. He might hit 30 home runs this season. Aaron Judge might hit 60. But Vinny might hit you 30. He might get you 105 RBIs, 107 RBIs. Find that player. That player has a lot of value. That's what I want the Chiefs to do. That's it. That's it.
Hell, find Isaiah Pacheco. Rookie year Isaiah Pacheco would be the best running back on this team. Like, that's a 900-yard back? Yeah, sign me. You don't need to find Ashton Jeanty. Just find better. And you know what? When you find better, play him, because it doesn't look like there's a lot of space right now on the roster.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Someone on the text line, 913-586-7965. Bucky Irving was drafted in the late rounds and was the top 10 running back last year. Exactly. Find Kyren Williams. Find Blake Corum. I'd be cool with that. I'd be thrilled. Be thrilled if the Chiefs had Blake Corum on their team. Would love it. That's it. That's all you got to do. Draft him. Great. Great. Coming up on the other side, I want to read to you guys a story that affects all of us, that doesn't address the main problem. We'll also talk about the Final Four, which is coming up in a couple of days, and this is one of the best Final Fours that we have ever seen. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let's put a bow on this conversation. There was a tweet earlier today from Field Yates of ESPN. He was going through the fewest rushes of 20-plus yards from running backs in 2024. The Broncos had 4. The Saints and Raiders had 3. The Chiefs only had 2 rushes from a running back that went over 20 yards. Someone texted in, "CDOT, I don't prioritize running back the way that you do. I rather grab an undrafted back, but they draft positions of need first. I don't have any problem with them rolling the dice on a back." Sometimes I think that you guys are in a challenge to see how good Patrick Mahomes can be with the fewest resources possible. It blows my mind. You guys don't ever want to give Pat good players. I don't understand it. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that fights this fight. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe they should spend a second round pick on a running back. That guy might end up being really good. Hey, maybe they should go get Sam Laporta. I feel like sometimes I'm the only person that really wants them to put pieces around Patrick Mahomes from a skill position standpoint. Someone else texted in. Come on, CDOT. You got to start talking about the numbers of Patrick Mahomes with Eric Bieniemy versus with Matt Nagy. Eric Bieniemy versus Nagy. Any running back that you wanted with Bieniemy versus Nagy, you want an explosive offense where you better start showing the numbers. You guys keep ignoring the elephant in the room. We've talked about this plenty of times. I'm happy to talk about it today. I just see this differently than you guys. I'm not saying that I'm the biggest Matt Nagy fan in the world, but when Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator, they had prime Tyreek Hill and prime Travis Kelce. I think that explosive plays come from explosive players and explosive pieces around them. That, yes, the Chiefs have the quarterback, but if you have a running back who was 47th last year in yards per carry and your number one wide receiver last year was a rookie and your tight end is clearly on the downside of his career, I think it limits the amount of explosiveness that you can have in your offense. So, I'm not saying that Eric, maybe you think that Bieniemy is better than Matt Nagy. That's perfectly fine. I'm cool with that. The Patrick Mahomes that won MVPs had dynamic players around him. The last MVP he had the greatest tight end that we've ever seen before on his team playing at a still relatively high level. The first time that he won MVP, he had Kareem Hunt on his team, prime Travis Kelce, and prime Tyreek Hill. You had a great quarterback. You put him with great weapons. He put up great numbers. It is just not a surprise to me that the numbers from Patrick Mahomes have been the worst that they've been in his career. And worse is obviously relative. He's still an incredible player, but he's put up less and less offensive production as the pieces around him. This season, he had the worst running game of his career. He had the worst running game of his career and the worst version of Travis Kelce in his career. And possibly the worst offensive line that he had this year. I'm not surprised that Patrick Mahomes struggled at times if you were in that environment. Situation. Man, Brock Purdy looked really good when you had Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey and a healthy Brandon Ayuk, and you put them around dogs. When you took the dogs away, you saw him for what he was. Now we're seeing this on a much higher scale. Patrick Mahomes used to have dogs around him. He used to have dogs. He ain't got dogs right now. There's a chance for you to go get dogs in 23 days. In 23 days, there's a draft. Draft you a couple of dogs. You get back a healthy Rashee Rice at some point this season. I don't believe he's going to miss the whole year. He'll play this year. Xavier Worthy's healthy for this upcoming season. Draft you a couple of young offensive pieces, and let's see how the offense can bounce back potentially. But, I mean, if you look at a lot of the numbers, I mean, when you look at Mahomes on the deep ball, you look at their ability to run the ball last year, their offense has taken a pretty big dip. I think a lot of it is just the weapons and parts that they've put around Patrick Mahomes. Let me read to you this story really quickly, Rob, because I know you and I are two people that enjoy going to the movie theaters, and I imagine that many of you also enjoy going to the movie theaters. This story was in the New York Post. It says that movie theaters are trying everything to bring audiences back, from pickleball to cocktail bars. Let me read to you some of the quotes. Quote, "We need to find a way to get people back into the habit of going to the theaters. We can't stay stuck in a 100-year-old way of doing business. That's just not going to work anymore. The pandemic made us realize that we need to diversify. We can't simply rely on studios to provide for us to drive our business. That's why we have invested in pickleball and cocktail bars in our lobby. We want people to come to see this place as a multi-entertainment center." This was the CEO of a movie theater. And then they were suggesting some ideas. They were suggesting they want a movie screening that you can use your phone openly, that everybody can be on the phone. They wanted to have more sing-alongs. You know, you go see Wicked, you know, usually you want people to be quiet. Shh. They want you to be able to sing your little heart out and dance in the aisles. They even suggested they, in some places, they were going to have it where you can blaze up at the movie theater. Hey, you go see Avengers and you want to bring your little sticky icky ooh-wee, hey, it's cool to do that. I don't know about you guys. I don't want any of those things when I go to the movie theater. The only thing I want the movie theater to do is charge less. That's it. Now, I can't speak for everybody listening, but I assume a large majority of you, one of the reasons you don't go to the movie theater maybe as frequently as you want to is because of how expensive it's gotten. You want to take your wife and you want to take your two kids. All right, that's $13 a ticket. All right, so 13 times four, where we at? 52. All right, now Susie wants something to drink. Your son Dylan wants some popcorn and he wants something to drink. Your wife wants some candy. All right, you got to go there. All right, you done now spent $70 on snacks. Before you even sat down to watch Shrek 5, you're already into it for $120. I don't want to sing along with you guys. No. All I want you to do is charge less. Rob, I read this entire story from top to bottom. At no point in here did it acknowledge maybe people aren't going to the movie theaters, not because we also want to go bowling. Maybe I don't want you on your phone when I'm trying to watch the movie. That would, in fact, keep me from watching the movie, is that all of you are on your phone. I simply want you to charge less. That's it. I don't want to spend $11 for this bag of popcorn and then $9 for an icy and then $14 to sit here. I don't want to do that, especially when now you don't have to wait that long to see the movie. Let's say you really want to go see a movie that comes out this weekend. Let's say the movie comes out this weekend. It debuts on April 4th. Now in 2025, that movie will be available at home for you by the 18th. So if you miss it the first weekend, that's not that big of a deal. Honey, let's just wait 2 weeks. We can watch it here. It's going to be significantly cheaper for us to watch it. And we got snacks at home. We can go get Chipotle. Hey, babe, why don't you go in the wine cellar? Why don't you go get you a bottle of wine? Let's bust it open here and let's watch the movie. All we want as the consumer is for you to stop charging us so much for the movies. If I wanted to smoke during the movie, I would stay at home and watch the movie. I don't want to be in your movie hot box.
This seems so simple to me. How do these people get in these positions? Man, we're trying to find ways. Charge less. More people would come if you charged less. That's all we want. I don't think I'm asking too much. I don't think that's it. Also, I really don't think that's it.
Also, I'm fine with ingenuity. I'm fine with creativity. Didn't the movie theater try this? Like, in the whole idea of what's the name of the thing on AMC does it, where it's like the dine-in theater?
Screen and fork or something like that. Yeah.
People that hasn't brought people back to the theater in droves. One of our favorite theaters in town, Prairie Fire, me and my wife's, they used to have these like couches you could watch the movie on. I'm not going to pay to sit on a couch to watch a movie. I'll do that at home. Charge less. Keep movies in theaters for a longer time. That Novocaine movie with Jack Quaid, I thought that looked kind of interesting. It's on streaming right now. They have to pay for it on streaming, but one payment of $16.95 is cheaper than two $12 tickets, and let's say we want to get two beers. Now I'm out $60 to watch the same movie I can wait 2 weeks at home. Keep movies in theaters longer, charge less for snacks and drinks, and people will come back. Look at Kauffman Stadium. You know what people like? The value pricing day. You want to know why? They don't feel like they're getting hit over the head for something that costs the same amount.
Yeah, and this is the thing that I maybe disagree with people. Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, they need to make movies like Superbad again, and this problem will take care of itself. That's all. Make good movies again. I actually think there's a lot of good movies. What I think has happened is, because of the price increases, we don't take chances on movies anymore. Let me take a movie like Paranormal Activity, for example. I know you're not a big scary movie fan. Paranormal Activity was a very, very popular movie, right? I don't know if America would go see that movie today. I think America would look at it and say, I'll just wait till it's on Peacock. I'll wait till it's on Netflix. Now, I think people would watch it on Netflix. It would be really popular. It would spread word of mouth, and then people would go see the sequel. I think that Hollywood actually still makes a lot of really good movies. I don't think America is interested in going to the movie theater for something they don't know right now. I think it's just too much. If you're going to tell me that it's $80 every time I go see a movie, I'm going to see a movie I know. I'm going to see Jurassic Park. I'm going to see a movie that I feel is enhanced by me going to the movie theater. So you got to go see the new Avengers movie. You got to go see the new Marvel movie. You got to see Jurassic Park. You got to go see Fast and the Furious there. I'm not taking a chance on your romantic comedy. Yeah, like today, if they made Superbad, America would not go. America would go maybe for the first weekend. They would not go for the second weekend, and then they'd wait to go watch it on streaming, and then everybody would love it once it was available on Hulu. I just don't think people take chances at the movie theater, and I can't really encourage you to take a chance on a movie theater when all you got to do, if you want to go see that movie with Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, it's on Netflix. You don't got to go see it. What was the movie with Jennifer Lawrence? A very, very funny movie.
No Hard Feelings.
Yeah.
And Anyone But You was the Sydney Sweeney one.
Why go see it at the movie theater when they're going to put it on Netflix in 45 days anyway? That's the biggest problem with the movie right now, in my opinion. All right, we'll get back to very serious sports things coming up at the top of the hour. I have an opinion that I'm not sure if it's going to be too popular, but it is something that I feel. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.